Praise the Lord. Our theme for reflection is, you will receive a crown of glory. You will receive the crown of glory. Praise Him. And our text is taken from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. I proclaim, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of the God's flocks that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not loading it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Praise the Lord. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Our theme for the evening. Last week, our brother took us through a four-letter word that is made of God and all about human beings. That is love. And he told us, if we love ourselves, then we should be able to love others. But if we hate ourselves, it will be impossible for us to love others. For me, what I grabbed and sent home was that to first love a different person, you must first love yourself. You receive the crown of glory. And the Bible begins by telling us, as shepherds, how to take care of the flocks. Amen. And so I was thinking that maybe we will have to talk about leadership and reward. Good leadership and what? Reward. Because it spells out clearly what kind of glory we are going to receive and what we will do to receive that. We should shepherd his flocks. And at the end, he will give us the crown. So I want us to analyze some leadership styles that we can employ, or some ways in which we can be leaders, and what goods will come out of that. Most often when we talk of leaders, or as you begin to read this text, Peter is telling the people, I'm appealing to you elders among you. Then you just conclude that, oh, if it is about elders, I am free. I am not an elder. After all, I'm not the coordinator. I am not the secretary. I'm not an ex officio coordinator or ex officio member. I am just an ordinary prayer group member. Praise the Lord. In the sight of God, there is nobody ordinary. And many of us are leaders in various ways. And unless we serve with fear and humility, we are not going to receive any reward for the leadership roles that we are playing. The Bible is warning us. We should serve him with all humility, and he will lead us. He will give us a crown that will never fail. And so, talking about leadership and the glories that will come to us, the crown that we will receive, I want us to begin with the family. The family. The family is the basic unit of every society. And good leaders in our various family will give us good church. Good leaders in our various families will bring up good mothers. Good leaders in our various families will bring up good fathers. And so at the family level, there are some people that are playing leadership role. And the Bible is telling us that if we are able to play that role vividly, carefully, and gently, then we should be rest assured that there is a crown of glory awaiting us. And so at the family, who is a leader there, or who qualifies to be a leader? Praise God. We all know automatically it's the father and the mother. That is within the nuclear family. If we extend it, then we can have other uncles and other extended family members supporting. But immediately, the leadership role befalls on the father and the mother. You have agreed to come together, and God has blessed you with a child, or even without a child, one of you is a leader over the other. Or let me say, both of you are leaders over one another. And so it's your duty to bring up that person morally, spiritually, and everything that is important. At the end, God will reward you with a crown. As a young father, I might not be able to tell all the leadership roles parents should play. But one thing I know is that any good father must live a good exemplary life. Those of us who attended First Mass at Mount, Father digested this topic there. And so when he was preaching, I wish that all the congregation were there so that we just skip that portion and move on to other things that he could not cover. You are a father, and you are supposed to be a leader in the family. Your children are looking up unto you. And so whatever that steps you moved, your children takes after that. Whatever that direction you are giving to your wife, the submissive ones will take after you. If, on the contrary, you have a wife that is responsible and you are an irresponsible father or husband, you are trying to impose certain rules that are not applicable, and this woman stands against that, because of your irresponsible nature, what happens? You launch it on her jaw. Praise God. At the end of the day, God has given you a wife to take care, so that she will bear children that will come and glorify his name. So that probably through your children, a praise can erupt there, and when they save the world. And you have beaten this woman out of your house because of your irresponsible leadership style. Ask yourself, can I receive the crown of glory with this kind of leadership style as a husband and as a father? He was telling us, as a father goes out and comes home late, your children will not be able to see you. And you are full of excuses and unnecessary stories to defend your inclusion into that uncalled for behavior. You don't want your wife to know that you are doing something. So anytime you come, you are either attending executive board meeting or you are attending to a different thing altogether. But in reality, is that the truth? When one day this truth comes out and your children get to know of it, can they take after your leadership style? Ask yourself that question sincerely within your heart. You are a mother who constantly refuse to discipline your children anytime they misbehave. The best you can do is to turn them against your husband by letting the children see your husband as a wicked man. And so when one of the children misbehave as a mother, instead of correcting this child, what most mothers will do is that, you wait, daddy is coming. He'll come and show you. Which means daddy is a monster. Which means daddy is a punisher. Daddy is now not a daddy, but a disciplined prophet in the house. Praise God. And so daddy also comes, and the child cries before daddy, oh daddy, I didn't do this, and mommy said you came here. Then daddy said, don't worry. Because daddy too is made of both human and the other parts. So this child continued doing that bad thing. And at the end, what happens? He picks it up and grows with it. Becomes a bad person. Probably the child picked meat from the pot. Instead of giving the child a hot beating, you decide that daddy will come and beat you, and daddy didn't beat him. So later he realized that picking meat from the pot is not a crime. And so when he sees somebody money, even in the society, he will be tempted to pick it. And at the end, such a child is killed. Ask yourself, can you receive the crown of glory as a mother? The Bible is telling us we will receive a crown of glory. Tell somebody, you will receive the crown of glory. Let's look at another dimension of leadership and how we can be responsible so as to receive the crown of glory. We have leaders among us sitting here. I am speaking today because of good leadership. If we were not having good leadership, probably I wouldn't have been here talking. Because the person who was to prepare the talk, the leaders were in touch with her, and they got to realize that she will be caught up with activities and she will not be able to be here. So they quickly got me online to see if I can prepare something, and I'm here. That is good leadership. Kudos. May God really crown you his crown of glory at the end. We have other leaders in this church. It's not only the secretary or the others. We have ministry leaders. Let me turn towards my left. We have some guys that performed here, and we're making a prayer for them. It's as a result of the good leadership they have and the role they are playing. That is why these guys are able to come always. If the leaders turn against each other, my brothers and sisters, know that you are going nowhere. And if you begin to fight, your time will come when you expire. You were not the first leader of glory of God, praise and worship. And you are not going to be the last. There are much younger children, the little ones, who are looking up to your skills, your abilities and tactics. And one day, when you become the coordinator here, or the assistant coordinator, then we make one of them a leader. Now, if you are the leader that attack your, I don't know how to put it. Let's say you are the secretary and you attack your coordinator always. You are holding each other's jaws. It means that when you hand over to the younger ones, they are going to be giving each other blows. And at the end, the church will be in disarray. In that case, you who live the earlier life, will you receive the crown of glory? Praise the Lord. You are a leader. You cannot manage public purse. Any amount of money that enters your pocket, when it comes to accountability, it's cat and mouse meeting. When they call the meeting, you will not come. When you know that they've left the meeting, you appear. Other people will observe. I will observe. If I contribute my money and you chop it, as somebody's son will say, Pastor, they chop. Then if they make me the leader, I also make sure that you contribute for me and I will chop. Chop, I chop. No be crying. But in God's sight, can we receive the crown of glory? Our dear leaders, as fathers, mothers, and of this group, you have a greater responsibility to take care of us. We will resist you. We will assure you that. We will resist you, but persist to bring us to the Lord. Because if you fail to fulfill your responsibility of bringing us up, remember in the book of Ezekiel 33, you are appointed as what? A watchman. And so, if you see any of us doing something wrong, and you refuse to correct us, like what the Bible says, we will die as sinners, go to hell, but our blood will be demanded from your palm. Don't let Barnabas' blood be on your palm. If you see Barnabas going astray, bring him back. If you come and I don't agree, don't also agree. Try all your best. As a leader, you have so many tactics you can use to change somebody. If you use one and it backfires, apply the next one. If it backfires, continue. And with time, you get me back on track. If you allow me to fail, you have failed. Because I'll go to hell. And the Bible is saying that my blood will be demanded from your pound, which you cannot pay in heaven. So you come and join me in hell. And that time, if I know that is as a result of your irresponsibility of bringing me up, that led me to hell. The way I will not brutalize you in hell. Probably by the time you get there, because what the Bible is saying is that he will die, go to hell, but I'll demand his blood from your palm. It means that I'll be in hell before you come. And pray that I don't become hell prophet. Because what I will not do to you, only God knows. May God never allow me to go to hell. And may he never permit any of you to even think of moving towards the gate. May he crown us with the crown of glory. But let's think about the words. Let's not just laugh over them. The people entrusted in our care, we have a greater responsibility of bringing them up. Let's look at leaders at the workplace. How can leaders at the workplace bring their people up and receive crown of glory? I will begin with my profession. Teachers, we are leaders. Are there many teachers in this hall? Are you a leader in your school? I'm not talking of being the headmaster. I'm not talking of being a form master. I'm not talking of being departmental head. I'm not talking of that kind of leadership. But in your daily life, in your style of teaching, in your relation with your students, are you a leader? You are a teacher. They have entrusted so many students into your care. Are you bringing these children up? Their parents are suffering, squeezing water out of stone to pay their fees, to get their models. Yours is to go to the class and teach them. Are you teaching them right? Are you teaching them because you are being paid, or you are teaching them because you've realized that it is a call from God to serve? Most often they say teachers' reward is in heaven. Is that not it? It's not true. The reward of teachers is on this earth. I have not taught for long, but I have started enjoying the reward of teaching. And it's simple. If you don't teach the children right, no amount of money paid you by the government of Ghana will be enough to solve your problems. If you think that you are going to teach and go and collect pay, and so if government is not paying me right, I will teach the children wrong. I will not prepare before I go to class. Whether they understand or you don't understand, you won't ask me any question. You are not trying to satisfy the needs of the child as a pupil or a student. You will collect that money, but it will do you no good. It will actually be what the Wala call sanyao. Before you collect it, you use it to pay debts. Unprofitable debts, of course. You are a teacher, and you decide to bring out your own proverb. How can a fool any man be taking care of cattle and will not milk them? Amen. And so as a teacher, I have the authority to select any beautiful girl in my class I want and play any MP I want with such a child. So you have defined your benefit. You have used one of the girls to quench your thirst. And now you still want the money you receive to benefit you. Let's think about it. I'm a teacher. I know what I'm talking about. You are taking 5% from every beautiful girl in your school. If all the teachers take 5%, assume you have 10 teachers. At the end, what percentage will be out of the girl? 50. And she's still probably at the lower level. As you continue to grow, if they take 5%, what percentage will she present to the rightful owner? Praise the Lord. Let us not laugh. I want us to think about this seriously. And those of us that are teachers, let's try to bring the children up to fear God. I know the caliber of children we have today are very, very recalcitrant. But one thing is this. If you are fair, strict, and you are genuine with them, you don't have anything to fear. They will always respect you, and they will make a headway. When you teach them right in the past, you are the best man they have ever met in life. When you are sleeping with them and they fail, you become their number one enemy. Which one do you want? To be the best friend of theirs or the number one enemy? That is a crown. Choose one. I will not talk of female teachers. But I know you will not disgrace yourself by allowing your student to make you pregnant. Because it has happened before. That is a boy you are to bring up. He might be physically matured, but mentally, he is lacking something. And yours is to fill that gap, not to use it. Praise God. We have leaders among us here at our various workplaces. Some of us have workshop. Let's say it's a tailoring shop. There is a leader there. Hairdressing shop. We have a leader there. Auto mechanics. Motor fittering. Car fittering. We have a leader there. My brother is looking at me. You are two or three in a group as carpenters. There is a leader among you. How are you bringing those others up? By the style you live. Any money that comes in and you all plan to use it before they realize, you have quenched everything. If you come and explain to me, I'll go to work and work lackadaisically. At the end, I will calculate the spirit of laziness. And when you now pass me out, I become a lazy master. If you were using our resources well, I would have been working with all my spirit. And by the time I complete, I will go out with the spirit and be working. You have deadened my spirit by your attitude. And now I am a lazy master. I can't even feed my family. Can you receive the crown of glory? Praise God. We have government leaders and other NGO leaders. And they are now killing us. Many of us are crying that they are killing us. Our leaders are not doing well. Our government are not doing well. What of the private sector? Are we doing our part? Praise God. And our leaders, especially those in governmental positions, you were not just kept there on your own. You might have known someone who recommended you, but God uses that person to bless you. And so your position is to serve the people for which you become a leader, not to extract the little that they have. You are a leader. Yours is to do this. Yours is to do that. But unless someone comes with a brown envelope, I will not make an inch. Your letter can lie on somebody's desk for more than months without being attended to. Visit that same letter with a different envelope, and it will be open in front of you and well addressed and attended. Are you this caliber of leader? And the question is, can you receive the crown of glory through this style of leadership? You are a leader. Before they will do something for you, you must bring a goat, a sheep. Amen. When you are doing some of these things, what happens is that you are prone to spiritual manipulations. They will get an animal for you. It's a goat you want. That is a goat physically. Eat it. And they will have your mind. They will control you spiritually. They will tell you to do this, to give the contract this way, to you spend this money, spend that money. And at the end of the day, you are to account. You cannot account. You have embezzled the money. It's your choice. Because you decided that what I am here to do, I will not do it until I get extra for you. And so what happened? We will get you the animal, but we will first work on it spiritually and give it to you. Eat it, and we can control you. Praise God. We can continue and continue. But let's even ask ourselves, we the young guys, we are coming to our side. Are we ready for these leaders to bring us up? If there is someone who is young here and is ready for the leaders to bring you up, the leaders in your life to bring you up, let me see your hand. Okay, there are some young leaders that don't want upbringing. They want to do it on their own. But I know after this, we all come together. May the Lord see us through. It's not easy for us, the young these days, with media, with friends, a whole lot of things influencing us. We know it's not easy, but we have to do it. And the only way we can do it is to give ourselves entirely to those in charge. If your mother say one and you say three, your mother say Jack and you say boss, you know, Jack and boss, Jack normally wins the fight, By the end, he usually received more beatings from the boss. You remember that? Those of you who watch Chinese and war films, the jack wins the fight at the end, but he is always brutalized, papa, by the boss. So your mother is saying jack, and you are calling her boss. You are the jack, you will win. But as to whether it will benefit you, it's a choice. And so as young ones, the reading didn't leave our path out, but we decided to stop at verse 4. So I'll add verse 5, and probably that will help explain something small to us. I read, young men, still 1 Peter 5, verse 1. I'm reading from the verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Praise the Lord. And so as young guys, young men and young ladies, we have to submit ourselves first. It's a choice. You either allow your parents, your relatives to bring you up, or you take a choice and they leave your own life in your hands. However you paddle your canoe, wherever it takes you, maybe if there's a crown, you receive it there. But if you actually want to receive the crown as a child, you need to be submissive. Praise God. Many of us don't obey our parents. We don't obey our teachers. We disrespect them. We disregard the people that bring us up. We have now become bipolar. And we can save our hair anyhow. If you file your hair or you do the azonto, your father said, don't do this. Then you go and say, reshape it so that it will be the arc one. Popularly called, don't mind your fucking father. So you've got to save your hair insulting your father, because it's a hairstyle. Don't mind your fucking father. You have gone to save your hair, not to mind your fucking father. Your fucking father will not mind his responsible son. When the responsible son gets into trouble, we will find out whether he will look for the fucking father or who can buy a responsible father in the market to come and stand for him. Amen. If we actually want to be good children when we grow up and take over the leadership positions, then we have to accept corrections. Many of us, when they try to correct us, we don't want it. We think that they are envying us. And many of us, like I was saying, we don't accept correction. Let me tell you something I wanted to do. It was for a good cause within me. I decided to leave my hair, this hair that I've shaved like this, just for a month, so that it become bushy. And I would take a picture with it. I wanted the old-time pictures. When I enter the elderly people room and I see those kind of hair pictures, I just like it. So I wanted to leave my hair, everything, with my beard, so that I would really look like a real African to take the picture. Almost every week, when I go to church, I now have to start to get out and start dodging. Because an elder will approach me and tell me that, my brother, if you have saved this hair, it will be good. So when I was getting bored, I started dodging them. Unfortunately for me, or is it fortunately, Brother Klangwana also timed me. So as soon as they finished the grace, he was at the door. When I was coming, he just held my hand and we were talking, asking of each other's family. We go to my motor part and he said, my brother, if you could save this your hair, I would like it. When I just left me and turned to greet, Brother John said, ah, in the door isn't a more bagalawa. So you know what happened. I just left. Half of my ladies, he spoke until she realized that Konantro Baranas here. But when these people begin talking to me, I realized that the disobedient fowl usually find itself in the cooking pot. So I do not want to be earmarked as a disobedient son. I quickly went and took a picture and I shaved my head that day. Praise the Lord. Probably if it was one of us, we would think that, oh, they don't like us. They don't want us to look what we want to look, how we want to look at. But sometimes, excuse me, what they want from us is that they want the best. There's a popular saying that what the child will stand on top of a rock trying to see. An elder do not need that stretch. He just needs to sit down and look, and he will see it. But many of us, when they are trying to correct us, we say, I am aware. I don't care. Remember this. The root of I don't careism will certainly lead to the house of Mr. Haidano. Can you receive a crown of glory at Mr. Haidano's house? It's a choice. I know we have fallen short of the glory of God in many ways as leaders at home, at our workplace, in the church, and in different places. We want to ask God for strength. As we take this song softly, I want us to meditate on it and allow God to speak to us. Wherever we need Him, let's allow Him to come in before we rise and move into prayer.
I need you, oh Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My Savior.